So, I like to do posture instruction. I enjoy it because posture has been my nemesis and my joy in the course of my meditation practice. In Zen, there was a very particular posture to sit in, and you weren't supposed to move once you were in it. So that added a lot of challenges. For sure. But also, I really grew a lot in that process and found myself kind of more and more embodied. And then the more I became embodied through this emphasis on posture and Zen, the more it promoted a kind of an easeful awareness, a mindfulness that just kind of seemed to. It's probably not the best word for everyone, but kind of radiated from me rather than something that I had to do or make happen. And so I'm not saying that you're focusing on instructions and posture now is going to provide that overnight or quickly. This was a years-long process, but I found it really this whole idea of becoming embodied is so central to this tradition of ours. The Buddha did give specific instructions on mindfulness of posture, not instructions on posture, but just to be really attentive to when you're sitting, that you're sitting, when you're standing, that you're standing, when you're walking, that you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're lying down. And once we do that, we start discovering this magic of that through how we're sitting, how we're standing, how we're walking, how we're laying down. There's so much that gets expressed in how we take these postures and everything in between that we have this notion in English that someone is posturing. We don't necessarily mean that they're literally doing something special with a posture, but they might be. But it means that they're kind of asserting their status or something. There's something deeper going on there, conceit going on there. And I know I was fascinating my early years of practice to discover how my posture changed when I got depressed, and how if I then changed my posture so it wasn't a depressed posture, it actually affected my depression. And there were a couple of times where it just disappeared. Like, what? Is this okay? Is this allowed to have the depression go away so quickly? It was probably a mild depression, so I don't want to say it's that easy, but it was a couple of times like, wow, just like this feedback loop between the posture and our emotional life can be quite strong. So the reason I do the posture instruction in the retreat is not to have all these benefits automatically, but if nice, it's just a way of encouraging you to bring attention to posture. The primary reason to do it is so you don't have unnecessary discomfort during the retreat. We can't avoid discomfort in this kind of practice that we do, but we can be wise about the discomfort. And part of the wisdom is to know how to get into a somewhat aligned posture so you minimize the chances that the posture is going to cause discomfort. And so, like, for example, if the back is not have some modicum of straight, upright, then the muscles have to work a lot harder, or there's more of a collapse that goes on that can build up a strain in the spine and all kinds of places. Sometimes, if we don't have a good positioning of the legs, the knees can hurt unnecessarily. And it's the unnecessary part, which is unfortunate. So, I'll talk about different options for how to. Sit to hear. There's a lot more than what I'll talk about, but I'll give you some basic ideas, and this might help you then find your own way more that's more personal for you. And then some of the wisdom pieces about how to be with the body when we in this posture thing. So the classic posture is to sit cross-legged on the ground. And I actually recommend you don't sit cross-legged, which means that the legs are actually crossing themselves, like in full lotus. If you really can do that easily, it's a wonderful posture. But it tends to put a lot of torque on the knees and also sometimes on the ankles. And it can cause damage even if you force yourself to sit that way with a lot of pain. The full lotus is kind of beneficial for the spine sometimes, so it has its role, but I don't encourage you to do it. But rather, if you want to sit cross-legged, so-called cross-legged, to sit with legs not crossed, but one in front of the other, the lower legs one in front of the other. And that's sometimes called Burmese fashion. Sometimes in English it's called tailor fashion. Tailors, I guess, sat on the floor and sat that way when they sewed. And to get that in a nice way, you want to be elevated. And that the height of the elevation depends a lot on how open you are in your hips. The openness of the hips has a lot to do with how well you can sit this way. So if you can do hip opening, like yoga stretches, that's a great help for this. It helps the knees, so it's not just for the hips. But you want to, ideally, you have your two knees on the mat. So you have a tripod, the three points of the knees, and back by your tailbone, where you have this kind of more stability. Ideally, you would sit high enough you can get your knees down so they're not sitting up in the air like this. And sometimes people even get two of these round cushions or two, just build more height. And there's a limit to how much height you can get before you slide off. So if your knees are up like this, then you want to just get something that you can put under your knees so they are supported a little bit. And then slowly, as you get used to it, you can kind of make it less and less support until you don't need it anymore as things stretch out. Now part of the reason for sitting this way is the stability, but also it allows the lower part of the back to curve a little bit. And this concave curve is it can be overdone, but a natural straight, so-called straight back, is actually a gentle S shape. And you want to have that S shape with the lower part of the back, ever so slight curve. You don't want to, you know, as I said, you don't want to over arch, and you don't want to under arch. Certainly, you don't want to be convex where it pushes out in the back, because that puts a lot of strain on the vertebrae. And exactly how it should be for any individual is a personal thing, but the idea, kind of the middle way, is have a little bit of curve. And I like to think of it as a little bit of strength that goes kind of a little bit down into the tailbone in that curve. And that strength, of kind of a little bit like, I don't know, making a little teeny bit of an arch, more arch there. So there's a little strength and stability that kind of goes down. You might actually feel it in the sitting bones when you do that. If you do concave like this, at least for me, the pressure, the weight goes off the sitting bones. But as I come up and have a little bit of a curve, then I can feel that as I curve a teeny bit more, I feel this more pressured on the two sitting bones there, and provides a nice support. And sometimes what can happen is you feel this up pushing, the body itself, the torso kind of lifts up a little bit. And this is a wonderful feeling of you not doing lifting, but something inside kind of lifting you up as you sit. Sometimes when people sit this way for the first time, the legs go fall asleep. And that's usually after a few weeks or months that goes away. And so it's just a matter of patience. And you're welcome to change your posture at any time during the sitting. Once you're in the posture, you're not stuck here like you are in Zen sometimes. So you're welcome to change and shift your posture and just do it slowly and kind of quietly, mindfully. And if you feel like it's, you know, legs fall asleep or you're kind of starting to feel challenged by it all, this is the rest posture. You just go like this and you can rest for a while. And then when you're ready, you can come back and sit this way. And sometimes small adjustments can help with both the discomfort and also from the legs falling asleep. So the knees can be further out, the knees can be as close as possible with the legs pulled in under your groin. It can be sitting higher or lower. And we have these different kind of cushions. There's two kinds of round ones. There's this one here is made from buckwheat, and you can kind of hear it kind of crinkles when you touch it, and it has, you can feel little seeds inside. And they kind of, some people like these because they kind of contour to your bottom in a nice way and spreads the weight out more evenly or something. And so some people like these a lot. And some people prefer the kapok, which is a kind of a cotton-like material that is not as forgiving. It doesn't contour quite as well, but it creates a nice support for the bottom as well. And if they're not high enough, like one of the things to build height with is these things here. You know, just put them underneath the cushion. And then there are alternative ways of sitting on the floor. And one way is to sit on, and then you can take one of these cushions and put it sideways like this and put it between your ankles and then sit down on it like this. And this is a nice alternative. If you mostly sit like cross-legged, actually any posture that you sit in regularly on the retreat, you probably build up some kind of strain because the body's not made to sit always the same way. And so sometimes it's good at sitting or two to sit in a different posture just to alleviate some of the strain. And so we kind of get refreshed. And for sitting on the floor, this is an alternative to sitting cross-legged. For sitting cross-legged, it's an alternative to sitting this most of the time, whatever is best for you. And if some people find it sitting this way really helps them sit upright in a nice way, it puts less torque on the knees. But sometimes the weight of the body gets pushed down into the knees, sometimes this way, and they can hurt. And so some people find that if they scoot out to the front, so the knees are over the edge. The pressure then is a little bit on the shins, but that's somehow better. And this can be sometimes nicer for the knees. And or sometimes the ankles or the toes are too stretched out because they're flat. And so to lean, to move to the back and have your toes or your ankles kind of stretched over the back. And if you need both, then it little depends on how long your legs are, but you can fold these in half so they're shorter. And then, and also then they're higher, but you can get a little bit easier to get your ankles over the back and your knees can maybe be over the front and get benefit of both. And there's also these benches you can sit on. And some people really like the benches. They feel really stable and well supported by these. And, you know, you just put them either side and sit down on it. And these, especially with the benches, sometimes you, and, you know, you want to find out the height that's right for you. And so if that's not high enough, you can get some of the, maybe not these cushions, but the ones that are half the size of this and build up height that way. And then there's also sitting in the chair. And the classic way of sitting in a chair, the classic instructions, maybe I'll just sit like this now, just explain it, is to sit with the feet parallel to each other with the soles of the feet against the surface, the floor or those foam pads that Andrea pointed out yesterday. And so the legs are parallel to each other. Some people, however, actually feel much more stable if they spread their legs wide. And so that's certainly possible. But the trick there with sitting on a chair is to have the knees slightly lower than the hips. If the knees are higher than the hips, it pushes out the spine and the lower back. So either parallel or slightly, the knees are parallel or slightly lower than the hips. So you want to kind of, and you can feel the difference because when they're a little, knees are a little bit lower, again, you get a little bit of it, easier to have a little bit of that curve in your lower back. And if you're tall, then you can build up height with these here on the chair. If you don't have to use the backrest, has some benefits because then you get the benefits of having to have a certain kind of intentionality in holding yourself upright like you do on the floor that promotes a little bit more awareness and mindfulness, embodiment. If you need to use the backrest, by all means, use it. One little thing you can do is to bend forward when you sit down. And usually when bend forward, it pulls you away from the backrest. And then scoot yourself as you bend over as firmly back into the backrest, the lower part of the backrest as you can. and then snake up. So the weight of your body, the pressure of your body pushes really hard, really low down here in your spine. And that has a very nice lifting effect and helps kind of the curve and the strength and kind of upright. That feels really good. And generally, if you do that, then you wouldn't use the back, the upper half of the backrest, just the bottom. And these chairs here, they lean, they're not quite right, maybe for meditation. The seats are angled backwards a teeny bit, going down backwards, and the backrest leans back a little bit. So some people will try to compensate for that, and some people will do it by using these. And for the backrest, sometimes they put them like this so they don't lean back, so it's more straight. And for there's different ways of putting this. Some people like to have it at an angle, and some people like to have it reversed when they're sitting, just because, you know, there's all these variations you have to play with. And then if you're welcome to use the entire backrest, which many people need. And an interesting thing to do there, especially if you're having shoulder difficulties or some pain to upper part of your torso, is to get like a towel or, you know, one of these blankets and roll it up into a nice coil and then stick it down between your shoulder blades like this and then lean into the backrest. And then that pushes the spine in a little bit towards the chest and lets the shoulder blades kind of fall back, and it helps with the opening up of this area here. So that's sometimes nice. These brown ones don't quite work for that. You have to do something like a towel or those blankets or something. And both in the floor and on the chairs, the idea is that generally to have the hands doing, being symmetrical, doing the same thing. I mean, classically, the hands are together, you know, and sometimes where they can be on the, not together, but like on the thighs. The thing to be careful for there is if the hands are too low, sometimes the proportion of arm length to torso length or something, if you're resting on the ankle when you're sitting cross-legged, you might be being pulled forward slightly by your weight. And so what you can do is get something, it could even be a towel or one of these, and put them on top. And that kind of, the hands are higher, and that helps keep the upper part of the chest and the back kind of more from rolling over, falling over a little bit. And you can put whatever height you want that works well for you. And if you have your hands on your thighs, then you might want to be careful they're not too far forward, pulling you forward. So pulling the arms up the thighs. And the classic instructions to have the elbow right along the midline of the middle of the sides here. So it's right like that. And when I was in Zen, they had us sitting with our hands touching like this. They would sometimes tell us to be chickens when we first sat down. And what that meant, you know, flap your wings. And the reason for that is to make them loose. Sometimes people are a little tense. Just kind of flap them so they relax a little bit. Some people will have, because of this modern lifestyle with, it used to be, say, computers, but now you're more so with the phones going around the streets, being strangers to everybody because the world that's in that little screen, the effect is that sometimes that the shoulders roll forward and they get tense. And, when we're not aligned well in the posture, a lot of tension builds up. And sometimes the muscles get frozen. There can be a lot of pain in the shoulders, in the back of the shoulders. And some of that is just you have to deal with patiently, because as muscles which are chronically tense go numb, and as they come alive, you have to go through a period of them hurting. So you just have, okay, well, this is the deal. This is my karma. I've been tense all these years. And so to let it relax, I have to kind of be patient with the pain. So it's not like you're going backwards. It means you're going forward, but it's uncomfortable for a while. But one thing you can do that can help with it kind of get it more aligned again, is you can lift one shoulder up to the ear as high as you can, and then keep the shoulder up there. Take that hand, that arm, stretch it out as far as you can without leaning forward. And then, like a big windmill, up to the ceiling. And then, as you come down, turn the hand up towards the ceiling. And put it hands up on the thigh. And if you do that, sometimes you'll feel it open up here more in the shoulder. So try the other side. Lift it up, all the way up. Stretch forward, all the way around, hands to the ceiling, and put it back, and then you. And so that could make it a little bit easier sometimes up there. You're welcome to do that during the sitting, but not a lot. Otherwise, I'll think I'm Don Quixote here or something, all the windmills. And a few other things. So then the head is, turns out it's a pretty heavy appendage. if you take a big, heavy, like a watermelon or something, and you walk around carrying it like this, it gets tired really quickly. But if you keep it close to the center of gravity, it's a lot easier. So the same thing. So the more your head is in the center of gravity here, the easier it is. So if you're like this or like this, these muscles have to work a lot. And so you want to try to be careful with the position of the head. And ideally, the ears are lined up with the shoulder. And ideally, you're not looking up like this, or chin is not poking up, or not like this, or to the side. Any variation from just being here centered puts more strain on the system. And one thing that's often suggested is to tuck your chin down and your head back a little bit. That can help kind of get it nicely positioned. Another way of doing the same thing is to, that feels to me a little bit more relaxing, is to open up the space between the last vertebrae and the skull. And then get the same movement without pulling in, kind of a more of a lifting up. Things can be uncomfortable here. You can have pain as you sit. You're always welcome to move. And there are advantages of sitting with pain. You'll learn a lot about your reactivity and your fear and how to learn patience and equanimity. And pain is a great teacher. But only do so if your morale is good, if your enthusiasm for it's good. And only do it if you feel, okay, I feel everything's good. I slept well, I ate well, and I'm happy, and I'm ready to learn something new about myself. And okay, I can sit here with this pain for, 10 seconds, and just see what happens, or for a minute, or for 5 minutes. But your morale should be good. It's your choice. So this is not like gritting it out. It's not like, being stoic or just being samurai, which I say that because of the Zen practice. We were samurais who busted our knees because not moving. There were a lot of knee surgeries in Zen. So only if your morale is good. Only if you feel, okay, this is an opportunity I want to take, and maybe I want to learn patience or something. But if you don't feel that, don't do it. Wait for when you do feel up for it. If your pain is, sometimes pain, and legs going to sleep. If legs go to sleep, when you finish sitting cross-legged or sitting the way you are, massage your legs. Don't stand up right away because you can fall. And one person many years ago broke a little bone in her foot when she stood up too quickly and the foot was not asleep. So, shake it, massage it, and just wait a little bit, and circulation will come back, and then stand. But if the numbness doesn't decrease within 3 or 4 minutes, then the chances are high that what's happening is you're not cutting the circulation of blood, but you're pinching a nerve. And you never want to pinch a nerve. And so when you come back to sit next time, never sit the same way again, that way again. As soon as you get that kind of numbness that you had, switch your posture right away. You can do lasting damage if you sit too long with a pinched nerve. If you have pain, sometimes it's a miracle that the pain goes away as soon as the bell rings. how did that happen? I thought this is impossible. Being, where did it go? Sometimes it lasts once you get up. But if by the time you get to the bottom of the steps, it's still hurting and hasn't been decreasing quickly, then you have to be a little concerned that you might actually be injuring yourself, rather than overstretching or something like that. And so then again, you have to be careful. There shouldn't be any lasting pain after the sitting that lasts more than a couple of minutes or something. So then you also want to come back and be careful not to do that same stretch or way of sitting again, have that pain again. So here at IRC, you're always welcome to stand in the middle of the sitting period. We call it a sitting meditation, but you're welcome to stand if you need to. If you need to take a break from sitting too long, or you feel too tired to be sitting, you keep nodding off, and standing kind of keeps you awake because it's further to fall. Do standing meditation. One of our teachers here, Matthew Brensilver, he does almost all his meditation standing because he has an injury, back injury. And so you're welcome to stand. The idea is it's pretty much the same practice as sitting, except you're doing it standing. And its added benefit is that when you stand, there's all these teeny little shifts in the muscles and to keep your posture straight, you know, balance going. And those little shifts that your body does almost automatically, it can be very engaging for the awareness. And sometimes it's like almost like a game to be in the body, kind of just kind of surfing with the little shifting movements, and keeps you present. And also, you see, Andre is a great model for laying down. I do not recommend you lay down just on a lark. Just like, oh, you know, Andre's doing it, it's too easy to fall asleep. But you are welcome to lay down if you need to. And some people will go back to their room and lay down at their bed. We have those window seats up there that no one can reserve for themselves, but so they're available to first come, first serve each time, each sitting. And that's a comfortable place to lay down. And if you need to lay down a lot, then tell us, and we'll see if we can find you a place in here to figure out something. Or maybe we'll make one of them reserved for you up there. And so some people, that's the only way they can do it. But if you find yourself like really, like it feels like the back pain is really troubling you, and you've tried everything, nothing seems to be working, it might be really good to take a couple of sittings and do it laying down. It's a good skill to learn, to how to meditate lying down. It's, for some people, it's not so easy to learn it, but to learn it, you know, so you not only have to do mindfulness in one posture, is really beneficial, because sooner or later you'll have an occasion to be sick or something and just laying in. So it's a good skill to learn. So I think that's what I'll say for now. So, thank you.